Pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable to thee, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and I think about his life. I think about the honor it is to have a federal holiday named after you, and I think he must be spinning in his grave. I thought that when I saw a commercial for a Martin Luther King Jr. sale. And I thought, I wonder how that would have made him feel to know that there are sale circulars around his name. He must be spinning in his grave. Oftentimes when we honor somebody who's done a great thing in our country, oftentimes when we look back into history, we have a caricature of the person and not what really happened. I know when school children learn about him, they learn about segregation and they learn about Rosa Parks, but they don't see the depth of what happened during that time. I think of how in his 20s, he was stabbed and almost died because a deranged woman went after him in his 20s. He was at a book signing. I think of how before the age of 40, he was gone through an assassin's bullet. I think of how this man who was so gifted and so brilliant went to the North to go to school. He went to Crozer Theological Seminary, and he was so popular there that the mainly white student body named him student president. And if he had stayed in the North and stayed where it was relatively safe, that where there were no Jim Crow laws, where there was no segregation, he could have had a storied career, probably have been a professor, but he decided to go down south where it was so dangerous and to preach a very different gospel that many people didn't want to hear. I think about how his wife and little child were in his home when it was firebombed. I think of how many funerals that man attended. I think of the 20 times he was thrown in jail for speaking out against injustice. And as I thought about that, I thought about Isaiah's words, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication shines like the dawn and her salvation like a burning torch. Oftentimes when we look at a famous life, we don't realize the struggle. When we think of those boycotts, the bus boycotts in particular, that didn't go on 10 or 20 days. It went on almost a year before some things were changed. And I think of that very last verse, "Upon your walls, O Jerusalem, I have posted sentinels all day and all night. They shall never be silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest." What does that mean? You who remind the Lord, take no rest. Do we have to remind God about God's promises? Do we have to remind God about peace and justice? Do we have to remind God about love? What does it mean to remind God? I believe it's talking about intercessory prayer, and that when we remind God, when we pray and pray and pray for the things that seem so intractable, that God gives us a heart to change things. God does not open the heavens and come down with his hand and fix us. But he gives us the power and the resources to fix things. And one of the challenges of our day and age is to understand that we are God's hands and feet, and that there are times that we have to intercede, and as we remind God, God gives us the resources we need. Evil can seem intractable, and it's so easy to give up. We who remind God. And when I think of his life, I think of the benefits that have come down to my family in particular because of the work that Martin Luther King Jr. did in the 60s. I think of my son, who was raised in Maryland. Now, Maryland was not a diverse place in the 60s and 70s. In fact, when there was a federal lawsuit to integrate the schools, all the white folks in my county formed private schools. It was not exactly a loving, diverse place. But by the time I got there in the 90s, things had changed tremendously. And my church was open and said, we need to greet everybody who's in our neighborhood. As a result, my son was raised by Sunday school teachers of color and confirmation teachers and youth leaders, all of color. In fact, when he came here, it was a little difficult. And any time he sees a person of color, he says to me, Mom, it feels like home. We have gained so much joy in our family because of the things that that man did. He who reminded God would not rest. And this is what we need to do in our communities. We who remind God must not rest. I want to see a day when the food pantries that we've established here and the food pantries that we give so generously will not need to be in operation because everyone will have a good living. I want to see the day when we can look at our police officers and not fear, but have trust for our police officers. I'd like to see the day when we give more money to education than we do to jails. I want to see the day when instead of raising a fist, we can raise a hand of friendship. I want to see that day. And that day is not God's whipping people into shape and saying, do good. That day is when we who remind God start to work for his purposes. My mother, who was a wonderful intercessor, she was a real prayer, and she had a God bag. I mean, a literal bag that she would take prayer requests and put them in. Now, sometimes that God bag was a fearful thing, and we tried to behave so we didn't get into the God bag. One member of our family got in the God bag, wasn't behaving too well, and she prayed him to Indochina. It's a true story. But she would pray for people. And when I would call her from whatever church I was serving and say, you know, I need prayer for somebody, she put that person in the God bag. But she not only put that person in the God bag, then she would write a note. She would pick up the phone. She would find ways to bring about the change that was needed, whether it was healing, whether it was comfort, whatever it was, she was an agent for peace. She was an agent for God's grace. One such friend who was put in the God bag many years ago, and she saw God's grace and she saw the answers to prayer, wrote to me. Now, I haven't seen my friend in years. She lives in Florida, and she said, put me in your God bag because she needs something from the Lord. Well, we don't need a literal God bag, but we do need to take up the cause. There is so much suffering. We don't have to look too far to see somebody in need right here in Door County. There are people who are sick that need to be ministered to. There are people in poverty that need our help. There are people who are struggling with drug and alcohol addiction. There are so many people who are hurting, and we who remind the Lord about them shall take no rest. That is the challenge of the Church of Jesus Christ. And as we remind God, God gives us the resources to lift up the broken, to bring healing and hope. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you for the lives of the saints that have gone before us, that have paved the way. I thank you for those who have been sentinels, who have not given you rest and taken no rest for themselves. And Lord, I ask that you would help us in a new generation to take up these causes that are near to your heart, to lift up the brokenhearted and let the oppressed go free. I ask that you would give us a heart to serve you. In Jesus' name, amen.